welcome to
Overbooked and Opinionated,
your favorite best friend book club podcast
with Liz
and Pooh
and Gammy.
Nice one.
Give the people our rating.
Alrighty, folks. We are a mature podcast. We are adults who say adult things about adult books. We talk about sexy time and we say bad words. So please be mindful of those who might be listening alongside you. What's happening over here?
I was trying not to do something obscene with my hands.
I'm proud of you for holding it in. Oh, there it is. Okay. Yep. There we go.
Anyway. Guys, what are we talking about today?
We're doing a new kind of episode today.
New? I don't like new.
You're going to like this.
I like you, baby.
Oh my God. We did a gay and it's been 2 minutes. Anyway, we're doing a theory episode, baby.
Theories. On what?
Pooh looks so tired of our shit.
I'm just tired in general.
That's valid. We are doing a theory dive on the Empyrean series by Rebecca Yarros.
Yeah, baby.
Alrighty. So this one's going to be a little different. The entire episode is a spoiler warning for everything from the entire series. Anything Rebecca Yarros has ever said in interviews and the shit that I found on Reddit to talk about.
Bum, bum.
Alrighty, kids.
Beautiful. So you've been warned if you haven't read Fourth Wing, Iron Flame or Onyx Storm. This is not the episode for you, babe. Come
it's
back.
Just come after back you once you've read it.
Don't worry, we'll be here.
Yeah.
You can find us anywhere you get your podcasts. Mm-hmm. And on your friend's Instagram because they shared it.
Hopefully.
I hope.
Stop threatening the viewers. We've talked about this in our last episode.
It. I didn't do
it. You were thinking about it.
You know who you are.
Oh, my goodness. Alrighty, guys. Before I dive in to both my own theories and the theories that I scrolled on Reddit for, do you have any favorite theories of your own that you would like to share?
Brennan's bad.
Okay.
Brennan's bad.
I agree.
Yep. Okay. Okay. Why is Brennan bad?
Brennan do bad things. Brennan have bad people on the bad side.
Convinced.
Brennan bad. See? That's all I needed to say. You guys fucking get it. If you know, you know.
Okay. Okay.
Brennan's bad.
I've heard that. Yeah. And that's interesting.
And true.
And true.
Also,
oh,
Brennan bad.
Hey guys, is Brennan bad?
Brennan's bad.
Okay.
I want to love you, but I can't trust you.
I was so here for this theory until Onyx Storm, and now I have questions.
Okay, but hold on. I have one more.
Oh, okay.
So I've heard some speculations that Jack Barlow is the enemies to lover in this book. Rebecca, don't you dare.
Not Jack don't you fucking Barlow. Dare.
Fuck Jack Barlow.
Fuck Jack Barlow. All right, my homies hate Jack Barlow.
I'm ready.
All right. Should we talk about Brennan more or is that all you have to say?
No, that's
Brennan
all I had.
Oh.
That's all I had. Okay. You'll see. You'll all see. One day, you'll know.
I can't tell if you need caffeine or if you've had too much caffeine.
Probably both of them. My eyes are watering.
All righty, guys.
I'm tired.
All right, let's talk about this first theory.
Okay.
Which I saw on Reddit. All right. Violet's hair is completely silver in the end of Onyx Storm, indicating her dedication to Dune is now complete.
I have seen this, and I'm leaning towards it a little bit.
I think it's interesting. So if you remember, at the end of Onyx Storm, when they talk about it, they say Brennan looks at her and he's surprised about something about her appearance while he's looking at her, but he doesn't name it. And then as he's talking, he notices her ring. So we know it's not the ring that he's surprised by. So a lot of people are theorizing that what he's shocked at with her appearance is that her hair is completely silver.
Yeah.
So you
it
think
has to be immediately noticeable.
She mm-hmm. got married and also was dedicated?
Maybe. I didn't come up with this one. This has been bopping around on Bookstagram and BookTok and Reddit. Okay. But I think it's kind of interesting.
What would that entail, though?
Like, because she killed Theophany with the dagger, right? That was crafted from the temple. So she was acting as a servant of Dune. So maybe that has something to do with the two. And then Zayden mentions in that one chapter that he has, his short point of view, where he talks about how he's owed a favor and that's how he gets what he needs done. And what I think most people assumed is that it was the priestess from the Temple of Dune who owes him the favor. I don't remember the specifics as to why. It's been a minute since I read this. But the favor was him getting married to Violet, like under the cover of whatever the fuck was actually going on that we don't know about. Mm. So maybe she was both married under a hit, like in her temple, and like her killing Theophany was kind of like the final thing.
Or like and dedication.
Plus, yeah, since Zayden is now a Venon, they know she's not going to turn Venon. That's what was kind of uncertain about her future when she was going to be dedicated originally. So now that they know.
That's interesting. Yeah. Okay. I can get on board.
Yeah. And there was that one epigraph where they say, the closest you can get to the power of the gods, if you're not a rider, is to be completely dedicated to a god. So maybe she's got both going on now.
Yeah, then what would that change for the next book? I mean, she'll be married to a Venon, who's also the most powerful rider of their time right now, who is also a part of the rebellion, who... Like, oh my God, we already thought that she was one of the most powerful riders. Like, they compare her to Zayden all the time. So now she's also dedicated to
maybe
Dune. And like, oh my God, that hurts my brain.
Yeah, mine too.
That one hurts my brain. Oh my God.
So here's a list theory that probably also exists. I don't think I'm the first person to mention this. They talk a couple of times about, like, in that little note from the Priestess of Dune, she mentions that here's the dagger from Dune, but there's also the other who curries her favor, mentioning like another god. I think Malik has some interest in her as well.
Yes.
So maybe rather than her future being uncertain about whether she's going to turn Venon or not, it was which god that she's going to end up being dedicated to.
Right.
Well,
I think that's kind of interesting too.
Okay.
Possible.
Any thoughts, Boo? No thoughts, Pooh?
No
thoughts. Okay. Alrighty. Yeah. So I think it's going to be interesting because they, yeah. Anyway, so that's that theory. Let's move on. So you mentioned Brennan being evil. I seen a really cool theory that Naolin, I'm not sure how you say it, is a Venon.
Yes. I have heard the same one and I actually am kind of on board. Mm-hmm. That one actually has me. Yeah, I actually kind of agree with this one, and I'm actually excited to see if that's true.
Yeah. So here's the, like, receipts on this one, right? People think that that's how Brennan got the gray scar on his palm when Naolin was saving him. Like, he accidentally channeled him a little bit.
Ooh.
Because they mentioned a couple times, like, when somebody gets grabbed by a Venon, it leaves these horrible gray scars. Like, do you remember Dane, when Dane got grabbed by that Venon?
Yeah.
Like, it left those gray handprints that are never going to be healed. So maybe that's where that came from, like Naolin touching him. Maybe Naolin channeled to save Brennan. And maybe that's why Brennan is still... Maybe loyal. That's why Brennan is bad, because he's still in love with Naolin. It's never been confirmed that they were a couple. I feel like Rebecca Yarros has been hinting at that very, very heavily.
Yeah.
I think that there's something there. But yeah, so that's exactly what this next thing says. Brennan may be aware that Naolin is Venon and trusts him just as much as Violet is aware of and trusts Zayden. Is he still looking for a cure for Naolin?
Wow. Yes. Because that would be insane. That would be, oh my God, then is he really bad? Like, would he really be bad? Because
yeah, what's the definition of bad?
Right. Are we calling Violet bad as well? Because she also knew that Zayden was Venon and has been keeping his secret and looking for a cure and not really telling anybody. So maybe Brennan not bad.
I think we definitely called her naive, right? Like, Pooh, yeah. I think in particular, called Violet naive for the way that she's like, he's fine. He's fine. Everything's fine. He's a Venon, but he's fine. Like, maybe Naolin has a slightly different approach. He, like, recognizes that he's not fine because he's a little older. And he's been around the block a little bit. Like, he's been part of the rebellion longer. He's known about Venon longer. Maybe he's even been witnessing Naolin this whole time.
That's really interesting. I really like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would make that an interesting dynamic, especially for the siblings. I think that would be really cool because Mira doesn't put up with any of that bullshit.
No.
You know what I mean? And so Violet doesn't get that behavior from her sister. She doesn't get it from her mom.
You think maybe her dad
is Brennan?
Interesting.
What's going on here? You know what I mean? Like, maybe Brennan is also doing the same things that, you know, he wouldn't want his little sister doing.
Yeah.
That she's doing anyway. But that would be really, really cool.
Yeah. What do you think, Pooh?
I think it's possible. It'd be cool if it was, though, because then it's like, I feel like they would, like, he's around, but I feel like Brennan is just kind of like, their brother-sister relationship isn't to where you think it would be since, like, she found out he was alive and all. So I think that would, like, pull them two together a lot closer than they, because it, yeah, you know, she's, everything for her is about Zayden. So I feel like she can't always forgive what he did and that he disappeared and was really alive. But that would, like, I feel like that would be the thing to make her forget, because she'd be so focused on the cure, she wouldn't.
Yeah. Hmm.
That's interesting.
Alrighty, here's a cool part of this. So, if Naolin is Venon, does Tarn know, and he actually severed the bond between them, which is why he has a hard time talking about the one who came before, as well as why he's not supportive of Zayden's actions, even if it was to save Violet and in turn himself?
Yeah, I mean, if he was, then Tarn would know. But then why wouldn't he tell Violet? Like, that seems...
Maybe it's too painful.
You think?
Yeah.
Because... I don't know. Like, I don't know. I feel like he would have to tell her. Like, he wouldn't be able to keep that from her. In my opinion, like, dragons keep their secrets, obviously. But think about, like, Zayden and Scale's relationship. Like, Scale kept this horrible secret from Tarn to protect Zayden. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And keep Zayden safe. So if Tarn knew... That would change, like, everything. That would change the trajectory of Violet's,
you think,
safety. I mean, yeah. Because if Brennan is so close to Naolin and Violet is going to be around them, like, I feel like he would have to.
Maybe. But they also mentioned specifically, which I think is interesting, that Tarn doesn't like Brennan and never has, like, even when he was Naolin's dragon, like, he never liked Brennan, and Brennan says that himself. He's like, yeah, he's just never liked me. Maybe, I don't know, now I'm kind of like theorizing myself, maybe Brennan is part of the reason, like, why he turned Venon, or like was whispering some shit to Naolin before he turned, because, or, he says he never liked him, so pre Naolin turning
Venon to save Brennan,
or Brennan,
that's still where I'm leaning. Yeah,
Brennan might just be Venon, and
I don't think so.
You don't?
I don't know why.
Possible.
I feel like hiding that, like, as we saw with Zayden, is so much more difficult.
He's been gone.
But he'd be so much further.
Yeah, but Violet has been enough time. Like, he doesn't have red eyes.
In the,
oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it'd be, the physical appearances might be harder to find.
Yeah. And the more, like, channeling, resisting channeling is incredibly difficult, he says.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, by the point, unless he's got, like, some crazy self-control that we don't know about.
But I also think Tarn not telling Violet if Naolin was and he knew, I don't think that's that far-fetched, because he's never liked Zayden.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, he keeps telling her to let him go, and if you give her another person who's trying to find this cure, I don't think it's gonna, you know, it's gonna strengthen her resolve to find it.
Yeah maybe he watched Naolin, like, go bad in real time and sever the bond, and it was so painful, and he doesn't want to, like, tempt Violet down a path towards seeking greater power to heal somebody. I don't know.
Because then you got to wonder, with the way she is and how naive she is, what if she can't cure him and she's just like, then I'm going to join him.
Yeah. That's a horrible thought. Thanks.
Stupid bitch.
Yeah, thanks for that. Stupid bitch.
Thanks for that.
But I feel like for her, not far-fetched. Not something I would say is crazy.
That's true. Alrighty. We got to talk about the big one.
Do it.
Zayden's new brother. Who do you guys think? I got notes.
I don't know.
Yeah, I gotta go back and reread the end. Because her biggest clue was look for who's not there at the end.
I was so caught off guard by that, like, I was like, what the fuck? What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
What? What now? Rebecca? What now? I wasn't ready.
So I'm gonna read, like, in order of who I think it is.
Okay.
What, like, least to most likely. So when I first read this, I thought it was Bodhi. I was 100% sold it's Bodhi. I don't think it is anymore, but here's the receipts, okay? So first theory is that it's Mira. A lot of people theorizing it's Mira. I just blatantly don't think it's her. I don't think he would have said my new brother if it was Mira. I think he would have said my new sister.
Yeah.
Unless there's something where, like, Ven and all call each other brothers, like, regardless of gender. But I don't know. It doesn't work for me. Somebody has said it was Brennan on Reddit, and I'll read the receipts. Zayden, he may be calling him his new brother for multiple reasons. At this time, Garrick was still with Imogen unless he healed and used distance wielding. Bodhi was vomiting from Imogen's POV. But Brennan is literally there at the end, so I don't see how it could be Brennan.
Right. And also, like, that's like a double entendre, because it could be his actual new brother.
Literally, well, married. By yeah. marriage, it is his new brother. And so, like, I guess in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not on board for this. Okay, here's Bodhi. Bodhi could explain why there was so much urgency to get married. But then the unthinkable finally hit me that if Bodhi died, it is also possible they needed Vi to hold down the fort while Bodhi's second signet was needed as part of the next plan. I feel like there was a different reason for them to get married. Maybe part of how he could get Dune to save him. That's from Reddit. I didn't write down the username. Sorry, guys. If that was you, let me know. So I was fully team Bodhi. Like, Bodhi is the new brother. Bodhi is the new brother. Everyone who says anything else is just fucking wrong. Because she said explicitly in that interview, she said, look for somebody who thinks what they have isn't enough. And that's been Bodhi's MO throughout the entire book. Mm-hmm. And look for somebody who's not there. And they don't mention Bodhi specifically. So the whole time I'm like, it's fucking Bodhi. Like, that nobody else makes as much sense. But then I went and reread the ending. And now I think it's Garrick. Because the whole time he told Imogen during that POV, he is not strong enough and he better find a way to do it. Like, word for word, he says that in the book. And he is specifically mentioned as missing in the last chapter. And Imogen doesn't know where he is either. Imogen is the one who specifically asks about where he is. And they say he's still among the missing. I think because he literally, not just like a theme throughout the book, he literally says, I don't have enough. And then he is noted as missing. I think it's Garrick now.
Mm.
I don't want it to be, but I think it's Garrick.
Mm.
Better not be my fucking man.
I know you love him.
Wow. Okay.
I'm okay. Sorry. I hope I didn't make anyone sad.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really settled on who I think it is for that. Because when they say they haven't had enough, you know, they feel like they haven't had enough. My mind immediately went to Mira.
Wow, really?
Because, why Mira?
Yeah, because throughout the whole book, it's just like, she's another one who, I loved her in the first two books. And then by Onyx Storm, I was like, if you don't shut the fuck up.
Really?
It was like, Dad loved you more. He loved you more. He left you this. He loved you. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. He's dead. What does it matter who he loved more? He's dead.
Maybe.
Regardless, we need to fight a war. Who cares who he loved more? But she was so, like, hell-bent on, like, no, I'm not reading them books because Dad left them just for you. I'm not doing this because, you know, it was just for you. I'm not taking you to Grandma because of this. You know what I mean? She, like, so much family resentment there between her and Violet for feeling like she wasn't as loved by her parents.
That's
so
actually an interesting point.
Immediately, I did go there.
Yeah.
I don't believe that now, but mm-hmm. I did immediately go there.
So I can't believe that it's Mira because Mira, I think, is just such a strong character that I take it the complete opposite way, that she's dealing with so much family loss and grief right now that she's just processing it at her own pace. Like, we're talking about such a badass woman who is literally the head bitch. You know what I mean? On the flight field, on the battlefield, like, she was such an important character to the war effort in the first book. And, like, everyone says she's a Sorengale. Like, she is the Sorengale now. She's, like, the matriarch now, other than Grandma. But, like, I was taking that as more of a, she's grieving. She just lost her mother, who she has a very complex relationship with. Her brother is back from the dead. And also kind of an asshole. And, like, now her little sister is, like, getting this love and affection from her father. And she has no one.
Like, I don't know. I feel like the stuff in her family, that is what pointed me towards her, that, like, that for her. Because even the stuff with, like, the mom dying and her now being the matriarch and all, the whole time, like, yeah, she's Mira, like, this really, you know, top of her flight class, top of this. But really what she is General Sorengale's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, she's so overshadowed by her mom. And I don't think it's her, but I did immediately go there.
I think that's really interesting. I didn't think Mira immediately, but I think that's a fair point. Like, she definitely felt like she was lacking something. But the way that I took her, I don't know, her being weird towards Violet was because, especially at the end, like having finished the book, she went to her grandmother and found out that the reason she wasn't fully dedicated was because she had this horrible thing looming over, and she thought her sister was going to turn Venom the whole time. So of course she was being icy towards her because she's still her sister. But at the same time, she's like, when's it going to happen?
Right.
So I'm with you. That's actually a really interesting theory. And I'm like swaying me a little bit. Like, I still think it's Garrick. It is Garrick. If you don't think it's Garrick, you're wrong. But I get it.
Yeah. And also like she doesn't want anyone in her family to be Venom. Like, she's so dead set against this because she's such like a stickler, and she finds out, oh my God, here I might be losing another person in my family that I love and who I treasure and who I'm really trying to keep safe, and I can't do that. Mm-hmm. So I don't see her turning Venom, but I mean, anything's possible with Rebecca.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times with her, though, I felt like she's gonna somehow know more than she's letting on.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, it feels like she's not saying something. She's kept significant enough to be in the books as like such a strong part of the war, but at the same time, everybody fought. You know what I mean? I don't think you're that special because you know the best flight maneuvers. You know, like, I just don't feel like she's very like, I don't know, she's so important, but at the same time, you're not important. Well, you're notable as Violet's sister. And General Sorengale's daughter. As a person,
I don't know. I feel like
I don't feel like she was given a lot of spotlight as herself individually.
A badass in her own right, though. Yeah. Like, they don't show it as much, but she demands respect. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that is apparent whenever they do like meetings or she shows up on campus. And like, I don't think we see that part because like,
it's not her story.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think she is Mira.
I think a lot of it too, for like when you try to decide who the brother is, a lot of it you really have to decide who the devastation is going to be for. Because if you're picking Bodhi or Garrick, the devastation's for Zayden. She's not that close to them. She is, but she's not like them two. Whereas they could pick someone in her circle. A lot of people think it's going to be Riddick.
Rydock,
however you say his name. And part of the reason is because when he fought that chef in the kitchen on the island, he didn't bleed.
Because they missed. There
was no mention of blood.
That was just a mean cliffhanger by fucking Rebecca.
But also, it wasn't, because why did she wait until book 3 to make him so important?
Maybe, but doesn't Jack bleed when he's an ASIM in the beginning? And Riddick's with him the whole time. And he was so shocked when they revealed that Zayden.
The thing is, we also don't know.
And they're supposed to be able to sense each other.
We don't know what stage this brother's in. We don't know how long this person has been turned.
I guess, but if it's Riddick and it's been, like, if Riddick's been in Venom for a while, like, his eyes would be red, right?
I thought that until they said they're all over the school around them.
Yeah.
And they never specify what stage all of them people are in.
So, like, what do you mean they're all around the school?
So it's very likely that the more advanced ones have learned how to hide it.
Maybe. I don't know. It's interesting. It's weird.
Yeah. I'm not really sold on anybody, honestly.
I'm still sold on Garrick. Alrighty. Let's talk about this one. So I kind of briefly mentioned this when we were talking about the Naolin is a Venom thing. Violet is connected to two different gods. So somebody on Reddit, his name is Kozzy, KOZZY_90 on Reddit, wrote this out, and I think it's fucking brilliant. So the epigraph of chapter 64, only those touched by the gods should wield their wrath. I will pray to her, Dune, that she, Violet, not use it to avoid reacquainting herself with the other, Malik, who curries her favor, from the high priestess to Arik. Now, I may have understood this wrong, but to me it sounds like Violet is connected to two gods, and I immediately thought of the interrogation scene when Lian says, maybe Malik sent me as a kindness.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of interesting theories that the reason that she was seeing Liam during the interrogation section was because Malik also favors her, or like I don't know the right terminology, but she's got some sort of like death god powers going on, and that's why she could see Liam. Or maybe Malik favors her and like sent her somebody she knew would be comforting.
Right.
I think that's so interesting.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would like for that to be true, because it may help understand why she was bonded to two dragons. two dragons, ooh, two gods, right?
That's like, fucking interesting. That's, I never really made that parallel.
Yeah, that could be really fucking cool. And also, what if the gods play a little bit more into the signets than we know? Because we don't really know what the dragons' relation to the gods are. We don't really know much they about don't the believe dragons in them, at all.
At least that's what they've told us.
Right. But what if they're protecting their gods? They could be, right? And maybe this magic does stem from something more with them. It could be. I don't know.
Yeah, because the dragons are, you know, basically all knowing, as Rebecca has explained them. So it's not, you know, it would make,
at least they think so.
Yeah, it would make complete sense if like they knew all about the gods and it was just like, we're gonna protect these gods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Or maybe they don't even view the gods as like gods. They just view them as other beings of some power, but like relative to them, they believe themselves to be like,
right,
the be all and end all, right, of power in the universe.
But if she had two gods, two dragons, now that would, that's be cool, very interesting. What's the parallel there?
So I think
it's possible, but the Irids also had mentioned that in Darna, because she was an Irid.
Fuck the Irids.
Foster, you know, can can foster her own bonds.
Yeah.
So stupid Irids. She might have only got two dragons because Andarna could have made her own bond.
Yeah. I mean, completely possible.
That completely is, like, kind of hinted at, but, like, we don't know enough about the gods. I feel like we're, yeah, slowly getting more and more breadcrumbs about the gods and the fact that they're not just, like, abstract concepts like we were led to believe in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, they're actually something tangible to their powers. And I think that leads very interestingly into the next theory, that the gods are the answer to Venonism.
That's Venonism. Probably true. All right. That's probably true.
This one's kind of a long one. Ready? But hear me out. All right. One of Theophany's final statements leads me to believe complete dedication to a god would reverse being Venon. When Violet confronts her, asking if she yearns for temple, and Theophany says, "Do you? Or are you immune, having only been touched but not dedicated? Do you know the pain of never being allowed to return? Of knowing that it would sever the very thing that's kept me untouchable all these years?" Coupled with Zayden's explanation of how channeling from the earth feels, it seemed to me like she slipped and revealed that if she returned to the temple, or Dune service, or what have you, then she would be cut off from her power. Thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Bro, I swear to God, if committing yourself to the gods is the cure, like, oh my fucking God.
It's interesting.
Oh my God.
Who do you guys, you think if Zayden had to dedicate himself to a god, who do you think Zayden would dedicate
Malik,
himself to?
Malik, probably.
You think Malik?
I do.
I don't remember her name, but I think it would be the god of love.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Because I really genuinely think that despite him being like morally gray, badass, killing men, like the most important thing to him repeatedly is his relationship with Violet and his relationship with Sigil. And I think that that relationship and like that goddess in particular might be the thing that like pulls him out, you know?
Do you think the next book is going to be more based on the gods?
I think there's going to be some more information about the gods. I think we talked about this in our Onyx Storm episode, actually. I don't think the gods are like tangible characters that we're going to meet.
Yeah.
At least I don't think so. I wouldn't be mad if they were. I fucking love that shit in books. Yeah. But I think they're like almost an energy unto themselves, like a domain of power. I think it's a thing
It'd
that we're going to
cool
learn a lot more about.
If this next book was more geared to the gods.
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So somebody wrote in response, Razmatazdry5314 on Reddit responded to that post. I don't have the original poster's name. I'm sorry. But, oh no, Razmatazdry5314 said that original thing. And who the hell is Bucky on Reddit responded with this. I think she would have died returning to the temple. And that's why the dagger she was stabbed with had to be made of temple stone. But I love the theory, since I think Zayden might be favored by Loial, which I believe is the love god, as Vi is by Dune, and maybe also Malik. Only Dune and Loial demand a life service, and Zayden puts his love for Vi over everything else. Since they do not travel to the Last Isle, I am sure that the cure has something to do with Loial.
Hmm.
I think that's kind of fucking cool.
So maybe, yeah, maybe instead of the gods being tangible,
mm-hmm,
it's going to be like the sword they're going to be like channeled into different,
ooh,
weapons and stuff.
Yeah. I believe I saw something on Reddit too about like each of the gods having like a character that they favor and them all coming together being some part of how the Venon get defeated. Hmm. Because as Worldly Parsley 9419 said on Reddit in response to that same thread, They said, also an interesting theory, since love and war could be seen as opposites and would balance each other out. As Rebecca Yarros likes to remind us, nature likes all things in balance, after all. I'm excited to see how the series continues. It's religious lore. I think that's kind of cool. I love the idea that, like, in the same way that love and war balance each other out, Zayden and Violet kind of tend to balance each other out. And maybe the gods and the Venden are the opposite answers to each other.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
But then, like, what do the dragons play? Like, what is the role that the dragons play? If this is, like, a battle for the gods and Venden, what role do the dragons play? What if the dragons are actually gods? Crazy.
So the other question is...
What if the gods are dragons?
What if the gods are fucking dragons? And that's why...
None of the Isles have magic, right?
Bro! I'm kind of here for this theory. I kind of like that theory. What if the gods They're like super powerful, super old dragons. Yes. We will talk about that. But that's fucking crazy. What if...
You think
what
there's if, too many, though?
What do you mean? What?
Like there's too... Like, there, I feel like there's a lot of dragons.
What if here's
well, they're descendants of the gods.
Here's where my brain just went. What if the fucking dragons, like back in the day, there was super powerful, crazy, badass dragons, and they themselves turned Venden, and they were the patrons of those islands, and that's why those islands have no magic, because they sucked it all out.
Oh, what the fuck? That's good. That is good. We are crazy bitches.
All right, if Rebecca Yarros doesn't use that, I'm using that.
Oh, shit.
That's fucking interesting. Mm. That's cool because that would kind of explain why they can channel magic from the gods. Maybe it's almost like a mini version of manifesting a signet.
Yes.
Because they form bonds by being dedicated.
Right.
Ooh.
I think that's interesting. I don't think we're right, but I think it's an interesting theory.
It is. Yeah, I don't think we're right either. But I think we're just crazy bitches talking conspiracies. But I would love to see that, though.
Did we just make a handshake on the podcast?
I think so.
Poo. Give me some finger guns.
What?
Fantastic.
Okay.
All righty, guys. You ready for this one? This one's kind of a zinger.
Yeah.
We are completely wrong about Violet's second signet.
I believe that 1,000%.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, oh, it's dreamwalking. I don't think so.
All righty. You guys ready for this one? This one also is a long one with receipts. It's a really fucking long one. Here we go.
Yeah.
Violet isn't a dreamwalker. She's a leash. Theophany correctly calls Garrick a walker, then calls Violet an effective leash. I don't think dreamwalking fully covers Violet's power. I think it seems apparent that Violet's second signet is a counterpart to Berwyn's. He was coming into Zayden's dream before he ever channeled from the source, and he was trying to make demands of him. I think the fact that Zayden can't hurt him and can be commanded by him is not a Venden thing. It's his signet. He is tethering himself to people, and then he's able to control them and, yes, see into their dreams. I don't have the information to fully put it together, but I have some supporting evidence. Here's the evidence. Or do you want to talk about it first?
No, go ahead.
All right. First of all, in Iron Flame, a Venden fighting Zayden says, "You will be so much fun for him to wield." It's an odd thing to say, so I wrote it down. Felix also suggests to Violet that she has wielded Zayden, and when they left the school, she convinced him and to give everyone a choice to come. I think part of Zayden's ability to resist Berwyn's influence came from being under Violet's. Theophany makes a supporting statement when she states the case for Violet to come to her instead of Berwyn. Violet asks why she would go with her over Berwyn. Besides the fact that he is subpar and you would be chained to him, powerless to disobey his orders. Then she promises to give Violet control. If this turns out to be true, it would be a truly terrifying signet. I think Violet would be afraid of it. But if they could get rid of Berwyn, then she could potentially use it to help Zayden maintain control. Somebody says, edit. This is all from Master Reborn 30 on Reddit, by the way. I've come to realize that if Violet already used this power on an awake Zayden during the throne scene... Oh. That in Iron Flame, I'm sorry, that word isn't if, it's Iron Flame. Okay. That's why it's capitalized. In Iron Flame, Violet already used this power on an awake Zayden many times during the throne scene. We've seen her lose control of lightning during those scenes many times, but this time she ended it in Zayden's head in the exact same format, as though she was him. So she's already used it once on someone who wasn't sleeping.
Okay. I can get behind that. I can get behind that theory. I also agree that dreamwalking is not her second signet. And I actually... hate that fun fact. Thought it was so stupid for that to just be her fucking signet. Like, I was like not happy about it. So that would make sense.
Yeah.
It has to be powerful. Like, dreamwalking, like, get the fuck out of here. I thought that was so dumb.
Yeah.
So I think it is, there's a lot more to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I'm not sure if I'm entirely sold on the idea of her being a leash, but somebody says that they definitely think it's like important. Like it's a weird term. Somebody also says that leash could also be a play on words, as in the opposite of unleash. She talks about unleashing her power a lot. So maybe she is the leash slash control on a certain type of magic or power. I think that's kind of interesting. Maybe she controls other people's power in some way, because maybe entering Zayden's dreams was like her manipulating his signet because they're so attached. Maybe.
Yeah, I thought that like her being able to do all of those things were just because of their like bond.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, obviously, what do I know? She was able to get into other people's dreams, so it's not that. But I don't know.
I think it's interesting. I definitely, Rebecca Yarros herself said in an interview, we've only seen 10% of Violet's second signet. And we've only seen, like, 50% of Zayden's mind walking. So I think there's a lot more there. I'm not sure if I'm fully sold on the idea of her being, like, a leash or, like, having control. But I do think... Obviously, just dream walking is not
it. Is not her signet. Yeah. Like, that's not it.
But it's an interesting idea. I'm really intrigued by the idea of her, like, having some sort of control over other people's signets.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be interesting.
Got any thoughts, Pooh?
Not really. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with the leash thing.
What do you think?
Like, I don't think it's dream walking. I don't. But I don't know that I would agree with the leash thing either. It's definitely like an intuitive thing for sure.
Yeah. Something brainy.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Alrighty. The last thing that I have under this, like Violet is a leash thing, is that the Irids, when they finally met her, they said to Andarna, "And you, our very hope, have handed this human something far more dangerous to wield, haven't you?" I still kind of like the idea that it's some version of, like, controlling others. And that's, like, a terrifying signet to just hand to a human because you absolutely have no idea who you're giving this to and what they can do. I think it's interesting.
I think, is a better defense than any of the other things that we've read so far.
Yeah.
That they theorized.
Did she still have the second signet after Andarna left? Because she made her sever the bond. I don't think that it was used again after that.
I don't think so. It was ever specified in the book.
So I wonder if she has to be bonded to Andarna to have that second signet.
Maybe. I think so, right? Because
it would make sense.
That's how she channels.
Mm-hmm. So that's where that signet comes from.
I think she would have to.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll see more of it the more we see the Irids.
I agree.
Or now that Andarna came back, now that she knows more, we'll see more.
She came back too early.
Yeah. We talked about this already. We're not doing this again. Alrighty. So, Zanal's gifts. Look, that's all I wrote. It just says Zanal's gifts. So, I have seen a lot of theories floating around about these. And Rebecca Yarros has hinted herself that, like, there's a lot more to these than we know. Do you guys have any theories about, like, why each specific thing was given to each person?
Not really.
I think the wine that was given to Mira is going to somehow facilitate her relationship with, oh my God, I can't remember his name. The flyer, the really hot flyer. Drake, thank you. And I think the same thing about Broccoli. Died? I don't remember his name, but he was the one. The one that Kat had a thing with.
What was his name? I don't know, because he was only in there for like fucking six scenes and then he died. Like,
I kept thinking it was Drake. I'm like, that can't be right.
I don't know.
I don't remember who it was.
I think there's some interesting... There's been a lot of interesting theories about the compass. People thinking it's going to be like the compass from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm.
Like thinking it points not to north. Because it's mentioned that it doesn't point to north. Like,
I think that makes sense. I do think the compass is going to be important.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an odd choice of gift. A broken compass. Yeah. It wasn't going to mean something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that Dane got bitch slapped. I feel like that one's pretty self-explanatory.
The way he died though, that one guy, the cat was...
That was awful.
That was insane. Like, that was actually crazy. But, yeah, I think they're going
to have to not react.
Yeah. Yes.
Like,
evil.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Oh, my God.
Do you guys think that maybe Riddick is favored by Zanal?
Do you have evidence for that?
No, this is just a lissism. Because I think, I'm sure I'm not the original on this, but he seems, like, when they were all having a conversation about the gods fairly early on in the books, they all mentioned that, like, each of them has one that they prioritize over the others. And Riddick mentions that he's always favored Zanal. And I think just like based on his whole personality and like what he's like the god of chaos, right? Is what yes. Zanal does. I feel like Riddick embodies chaos in like a really interesting, like a controlled way almost. I think it's a cool parallel. That and maybe would be he's cool. like yeah. part of the squad that's favored by yeah. the gods that's gonna okay. beat the Venom.
Okay. I like that.
Mm-hmm. So I completely forgot what the gifts are, so I just looked them up.
Valid.
And I think they're all gonna be important.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Looking back now and reading what they are, his name is Traeger. Traeger without having the distraction of them being in a new place and all of their sensory overload. Violet gets the compass. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Zayden gets an empty box the size of his foot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird gift. And then yes. Dane, his slap, whatever. Riddick gets two kisses, which, like you said, that would lean towards blessed. And then Mira, a painted wine bottle. Okay. Auric, a fractured hand mirror, which also is super popular in fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely could turn out to be something.
Wait, who's that?
Auric. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Garrick, a rusted steel bucket. Don't know. Drake, an orange mewling kitten, and Marin, two Broccoli. Orange tunics. Was the color orange important to anyone?
I don't remember.
Unless the color orange is important to which dragon is going to be connected to the Venom.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. For it to be such an odd color.
Yeah.
I don't feel like orange is that popular.
I don't know. That's okay. Interesting.
Okay.
I'm kind of here for it.
But I'm also really interested in Kat's necklace.
Yeah.
She gets a ruby necklace.
I feel like they're hinting. I don't know why this is where my brain goes, but she gets that necklace. I feel like it's hinting that she's going to be the leader of Peromiel much sooner than she was bargaining for.
I think so.
I think her sister's going to die. Her sister's right now leading it because... Yeah. Her uncle is. Because the queen was killed in this book. But her sister is next in line, and then she's right after him. I don't think either one of them are going to live very long.
Ooh. Okay.
And didn't the uncle in the first one, didn't he do something with Violet and Venom?
Yep.
Didn't he, like, yeah. So I'm wondering if he's, like, involved with the Venom somehow.
Mm.
And they might have to kill him.
Maybe. That's interesting.
Oh. Yeah.
Circles within circles with this freaking series. I swear to God. Alrighty. So... This one is honestly, I kind of hate this theory, but it's so popular that we have to talk about it. Zayden and Violet are fated mates.
I don't think that's a thing in this book, in this series. I don't want it to be. Like,
I don't either.
They have such an insane bond that if Rebecca turns around and fucking slaps a fated mate bond on it, like, stop.
Mm-hmm.
They have their dragons being mated to each other.
Yeah.
Okay. They already have this bond. Fated mates would be too much for me.
Yeah. I think that's where it would come from if she were to do it. Be like, this is a legendary thing that only happens between mated dragons if their mated humans fall in love, blah, blah. Like, but I don't... I know it's wrong to say I don't want that because it's not my story that I'm writing. But, like, I don't want them to be fated mates.
Fated mates.
Like, it doesn't feel right for the story. I'd feel like it would be checking a box and like tropes stupid. That she yeah. should hit for yeah. romanticy.
I don't feel like it makes any sense.
Yeah. But it's been such a popular theory that's why they can go into each other's heads and all those kinds of things that have been happening.
Yeah, but I think...
Which I get, but at the same time, he's an intuistic. His second... I forget exactly what it was, but his second signet.
He can read.
The thoughts. And then intentions. She is entering other people's dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So I think to slap fated mates on there is so like... unnecessary because they both have some type of intuistic power. So it would make sense that they would be that close because they both have been inside of each other's heads on top of being in love, on top of being bonded through their dragons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's following the like trope of being fated mates, being able to like talk to each other through their bond. Sure. But I don't think this story needs that. It has so much already that like, there's no need to put like a fated mate sticker on it. And
I agree. Like that box doesn't need to be checked. Like it works for me. This is definitely a hot take. I hated that they started talking in each other's heads.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like it because it felt like that's just, that has to be the thing for every big romantic couple that's popular right now is they need to be able to talk to each other in their head so they can have private conversations whenever they want. And it didn't feel natural to me. Like, I know it kind of makes sense because it's obviously how they talk to their dragons and, like, maybe that doorway should exist. But, like, I don't know. It just is not my favorite thing.
Yeah. I guess that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. I don't mind it, but I can definitely see, like, your gripe with it.
Yeah.
I don't need that.
It just felt unnecessary.
Yeah.
Okay. Alrighty. Do you guys have any theories that you've been seeing float around that you want to talk about?
No, this didn't convince me that Brennan's not bad, though.
Like, I wasn't trying to convince you I just want your receipts on why.
I know. I just think.
Vibes. Purely vibes.
Just the vibes. Just the vibes.
I don't even know if I inherently believe he's bad, but he's definitely helping someone bad. Or
yeah.
He
yeah.
is same as Violet and, you know, like mm-hmm. Nolan is bad.
Yep.
And that's his love.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I'm really excited to see where the series goes. I still maintain that the reason the series is so popular is because theorizing about this world and like. The gods and the powers and all of the things is so much freaking fun that we will talk about this book forever. We could talk about it for hours.
Agreed. Yeah.
Except right now. I think we're done.
Yeah, I think I think we're sleepy.
Alrighty. I think we're going to call our first ever theory episode.
Ding, ding, ding. We did it, guys.
Oop.
If you guys have any theories, let us know.
Absolutely. Send us your favorite ones.
Are any of the ones that we talked about today something that you're like diehard a believer of? Let us know. Let us know in the comments. We want to hear from you.
Let us know who you think the brother is.
Yes, please. Please let us know. I don't think it's Mira.
No, I'm Team Garrick.
I don't think it's Mira.
I don't just want think it to there be Bodhi.
There's a lot
but
of
I feel like it's
going to
be Bodhi.
I thought it was Bodhi for a long time, but I think it's Garrick.
Oh, I think it's going to be Bodhi.
I think we'll those see. Two things were too specifically mentioned at the end of the book.
We'll see. We'll see.
I am seeing now, I was looking for a theory, I can't remember what it was. Remember me and you talked about it the day that you typed it up? It was some like out there theory, I forget what it was. It had something to do with the mom, I remember that. But now a lot of people are theorizing that her ring is going to hold Zayden's soul.
Oh yeah, something like that, like his connection to humanity is going to be hidden in that ring. Fuck?
And then, and then a lot of people are connecting Violet's name to Andarna being like this dark purple. And somehow them two are going to, well, obviously, I don't know. I think it's obvious them two are going to be somehow the cure to Venom or find it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
I think it's going to be
But I think his spirit being in her ring is cool.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting theory. I actually think the theory that, like, the piece of his soul that he gives Violet in, like, their marriage pact or, like, something along those lines is how he stays human. Yeah. I don't know. I've seen that as a theory. Sense. I think it's interesting.
Mm. Okay.
Love conquers all.
Yeah. Sure.
Sure.
I mean, right, she is at the base a romance writer.
That's true.
So we have to remember that.
Yep. Yes. Yes. Have you guys read any of her other books? And do you plan on reading on any of her other like romance
not
books?
Unless this series ends. Good.
That's crazy. I have not.
Until this series ends.
I have not. I would like to say yes. And I am like, I like her writing enough that I would pick up one of her other books. But I also just really don't read romance novels.
Yeah, she's not really your genre.
And,
yeah, I don't.
But because I liked Fourth Wing so much.
Like maybe.
I don't know. We'll see. It genuinely... Like, it'll depend on how the next book is, because I felt like the writing in Iron Flame and Onyx Storm were not my favorite thing on the planet, but I think that had more to do with her deadlines than anything else.
Fair. So. Very fair.
We'll see.
All right, guys. Thanks for sticking in with us on this one. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you guys are just so crazy about that you could give us, like, a 2-hour seminar?
Oh, yeah.
On? Because we want to know. We definitely want to know. We want to hear from you guys. So let us know your favorite conspiracy theory that we talked about on the pod today. And let us know if you have anything else that you want us to talk about.
Absolutely.
In terms of conspiracy. Because we're always down.
We love conspiracy talk.
All right, my friends. We did it.
We did it. We did it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No eating here tonight. Mm-mm. No eating here tonight.
Woohoo!
No eating here tonight. I'm on a diet. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Don't make me dance to a tune that you're humming. No, my body don't move like that. Don't make me pretend I don't see your shortcomings. You'll be running when I raise the black flag.
And that wraps up our Empyrean Theory Dive. Thank you so much for tuning into another gloriously unhinged episode of Overbooked and Opinionated. We spent 45 minutes spiraling down fourth wing rabbit holes, our own chaotic ideas, the best of the internet spicy takes, and some serious Brennan slander, courtesy of Pooh and Gammy. Seriously, someone check on Brennan. I don't think he's okay. If you love this episode, help us grow our book club. Rating and sharing the podcast is the single best way to get our show into the ears of more fellow book nerds, and we appreciate it more than you could ever know. And if this is your first episode with us, hi, welcome to the chaos. I'm honestly not sorry. We just are the way we are. Alrighty, you can find us on Instagram. We are at overbooked.opinionated. We're on TikTok at overbookedopinion. We're on Facebook under overbooked and opinionated. And of course, on our website, overbookedandopinionated.com for episodes, show notes, and more chaos. Thank you guys again for listening. And welcome to the book club where opinions are loud, alliances are fragile, and Brennan's morals are still under investigation. Until next time, may your theories be unhinged, your dragons be loyal, and may you never find out your brother is the real villain all along. See you next week.